And Lord, thank you that you put us around other people so that we can be an influence for good. We can point them to you. Help us to see that and help us to understand your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Definitely be praying for us this week. You know, we have camp, kids' camp this week, so we have our advanced team. I don't know how many are in it, maybe 30 or 40 are already up there. And we got all our young people that work with camp, and then our kitchen staff, a lot of them are there. And it's going to be a great week. And so be praying about that and pray for us all week. We have lots and lots of kids going this year. I'm not sure whether we still need help. I think we do. We do? Where are you at? Where's Mike? Okay. How many you need, Mike? What do you need?
I need one man for the whole week. I need two men that can come up on Wednesday for two nights.
Okay.
Or I can use four men and split it up.
Yeah, there you go. And there you go. And we have 51 boys, just boys. So, you know, before you like talk about how, you know, the world's going down the drain and blah, blah, blah. And look, this is your chance to put your, you know, to do something about it. It's really the way our camp is. You really invest and you get a chance to really have an impact on kids. And so pray about that. We have a lot of camps. I have a lot of camps. Usually, for at least 3 days, I do like three talks a day and then a couple of talks on other days. So just pray about that. Pray my voice hangs in there. It still hasn't really come back. I was excited about being able to talk to you about this today a little bit, maybe from a little different direction. I did like one of the quotes. Some of the small groups are used in a book, and it dealt with some of the content today. But I did like a quote from Mark Twain or Samuel Clemens. He said, "The difference between the almost right word and the right word is a really large matter. It's the difference between the lightning bug and the lightning." And the reality is that you knowing how to approach people, you know how to give people the right word in the right way, is essential. Most of you have been in church long enough, you kind of know the facts. You know the basics of what it really means to come to Jesus and the basic gospel story. You may have a lot of the other things, you know, the things that seem more complicated, those are worth knowing, but you may have some questions about that. But the basic gospel, you have it down. But a lot of times we don't really effectively and don't, and by effectively, your conversations with other people, either you don't have them, you don't talk to your friends and your family and your grandkids and your neighbors about the Lord, or when you do, you don't have any real apparent impact. And a lot of that comes down to the difference between the right word and the almost right word. The right word is the difference between being seen as a humble and wise person and being seen as a clueless fool. It really makes a difference. And one of the hardest things, I think a lot of times when you think about sharing Jesus with your friends, and you think it's the unique realm of what I would call talkers, people who have the gift of gab, which is good if you have that. That's fine. Now, it could be good. You think that, well, people, I'm just not much of a talker, and I'm not very assertive in that way, so I probably never going to really be able to see someone influenced or come to Christ through my witness. But I just want to tell you that knowing when to be quiet is one of the most essential things for ever being heard in a meaningful way. Knowing when to be quiet is a spirit-guided type of wisdom. Because some people just aren't quite ready to listen to you. Not quite. And oftentimes, the people who are most needing to listen and the people who are least ready to listen are religious. They have quite a bit of religious experience, or maybe they grew up in church, or maybe they go to church, but they really don't, they're really not where they need to be in a relationship with God. You know, in the Old Testament, a lot of the talk in the Old Testament was to people who were very religious. They were idolaters. It says in Hosea 4:17, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Sometimes when people are so locked down, you know what I'm saying? They're just so locked down, you got to just back off. You know, I had a friend years ago who went here. His wife went here. He didn't go here. He wasn't going to be caught dead in a church. His name was Vernon. And he had a lot of people in church that were good. You know, and they tried to talk to him, and different people tried to witness to him, and his wife had witnessed to him. And Vernon got cancer, and I tried to talk to him about the Lord, and Vernon would just said, "Don't talk to me about this. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of everybody beating me over the head with the Bible," which nobody was. But if you tried to tell this guy anything, it was like a big deal. He was very, very like shut down. And so I didn't know what else to do, and he was going to have surgery, so I just went to his hospital room. He had to have surgery that morning. I went pretty early in the morning. I just sat in his room and kind of talked to him, and I didn't say anything about the Lord. And, I mean, I was willing to, but I just kind of was there to... Finally, after a while, I guess silence was starting to get to him. I wasn't, like, trying to, like, deep silence him. But he said, okay. And I did not know during the night that he had really had a crisis. And the nurse, he called the nurse in, and she said, "Sir, can I get something for you?" He said, "I need somebody to pray for me," middle of the night. So I didn't know that. And so he goes, okay, you need to talk to me about this. You need to talk to me about the Lord. And... But it was really hard to have the sensitivity to wait. You know what I'm saying? Because we just want to put our two cents in. There's all kinds of reasons for this. And we have a lot of modern idols too, right? In our own lives. You know, Jesus never encouraged words for the sake of just getting a reaction out of people. That's a very, very... modern, mostly American idea. Let's just see if we can get a reaction. Jesus only spoke, and he encouraged his disciples to speak, only when you got positive change, not just to get a reaction. As a matter of fact, I really don't think Jesus would ever did, or there's nothing in the Gospels that would indicate to me that Jesus would ever advocate bumper sticker evangelism. As a matter of fact, Matthew 7:6 says, "Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." That's a fairly, you ever been around pigs? They can be a little bit scary at times. Jesus uses don't get caught up in the agrarian content. He's really saying, when somebody does not have the appetite and the openness and even the capacity to really listen to you, don't do it. It's not going to go well. They'll tear you up. So what should we do? You say, well, most of you are like, well, I didn't really want to talk to anybody anyway. You know, most sermons, especially from Baptists, about this subject is, get out there, you bunch of slackers. You know, start telling your friends about Jesus so they don't all perish. And that's not particularly effective because deep down in your heart, you know that that's not the total answer. We do need to tell people. But there's more, there's not a formula to it. So what should we do to be effective in making Jesus known to people? That's our job, is we make him known and the Holy Spirit does the work in their lives. That's what we do. Well, the first thing you've got to do is you've got to see God's activity. Look for God's activity or move on. In other words, what I'm saying is if you don't see God working in their life at that moment, learn when to be quiet. Learn to wait. Remember what Jesus said? This is a hard thing for a lot of people. This is a hard thing, especially for people that are self-styled evangelist talker types. I have people come up to me and tell me they're kind of braggy about, you know, I talked to this person and that person, which is always an indicator. But the one thing I notice about a lot of people like this, that they're like making little notes about for credit. They do this a lot, is very few of them, from most of my experience, ever really reach anybody. You know, this is a very basic understanding about how to be an effective witness to other people, is learn when to be quiet. Learn to look for God's activity in somebody's life and listen, and then if there's, you can't perceive anything by the Holy Spirit, his prompting or whatever, or just by listening to what's going on with them, learn when to be quiet. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 10, 14 and 15, whoever does not receive you nor heed your words as you go out of that house of that or that city, shake the dust off your feet. Truly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for the day of judgment. In the day of judgment than for that city. Now, what Jesus is saying is you try to talk to him about the Lord. You should. But you know, guys, if you ever run into somebody, whether you're at home or work, and they just tell you flat out, I don't want to hear it. And maybe they don't explicitly state it, but everything about them is kind of saying it. You understand? So what you do is you check the door. Maybe you tell them what God's been doing in your life, and they're like, I don't want to talk about that. I'm not ready to talk about that. And it's not your job, as we talked about last week. You check the door, and if they're not really open today, you move on. You don't judge. You see, most of us would like somebody to give us a four-wheel drive plan of salvation. We can just lay on somebody, and we get to say, I laid it on 10 people today, and I feel real good about myself. The reality is, you know what I'm interested in? I'm not really focused on feeling good about myself. I'm focused on trying to see that person's life affected. And that is not a formula. That requires you to be sensitive to God. So don't judge people, but discern. Listen. If someone is closed, if they're asking questions and they're maybe they have some issues, maybe they're even a little bit, you know, like, you know, maybe they're a little bit confused. That's okay. They're open to that. You can even ask them, do you want to talk about this? Or maybe I can answer your questions later. But if someone is closed and they're really hostile toward you, don't press on. Don't become aggressive. And whatever you do, do not become condescending, like you got all the answers. You know, as bold as, I always think about the apostles, they were so bold. You know, we all think, man, they were so bold, they were so gutsy. But you know, what I'm suggesting to you is exactly what the apostles practiced. I mean, Acts chapter 13, 44, I think of Paul as being a very, very bold guy. He said, the next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul. and were blaspheming. Verse 46, Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. And since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles so that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the Lord, the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed for eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was being spread through the whole region. You see, when someone is hostile and you continue to witness and push them, this very seldom works. It almost never works. Now, it may be an ego trip for you or for somebody to self-promote yourself as being Mr. Bold. I hear a lot of preachers up bragging on themselves all the time like this, and this is quite troubling. And most of them are on the radio or TV about talking about this stuff. But it might be an ego trip. It might get you likes on Facebook to people that think the same way, but it almost never brings anybody to Jesus. Now, you could say, well, the people that witnessed to me were bold. I'm not saying don't be bold. I'm saying be sensitive. Be sensitive to it. You know, if you say, oh, I'm just waiting. I've known this guy 10 years. I've been waiting for the Lord to move. Look, if you've never talked to him at all and you've known him for 10 years, the Lord's already moved. You need to have a conversation with him. But if they say, look, I don't want to listen to this right now, or I'm not ready to hear, you need to be patient. Yes, there's danger for them. Yes, we'll talk more about what to do, but ask yourself this question. Do you want to make a point with people, or do you want to make an impact on people? Do you want to make a point, or do you want to win people to the Lord? You know, pounding away on people won't work from almost any case, but you keep praying for them. Which brings me to the next point, which is, how are you an effective witness for Christ? Well, you pray, seek, and you knock. You keep right on praying. He says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Don't give up on people. Your neighbor, your friend, your sibling, your parents, one of your kids that's not listening right now. Don't give up on them. Keep praying for them. You know, I think that somebody one time said, well, maybe it was Robert Murray McShane. He said, you have no business talking to men about God until you've talked to God about men. And so pray for them. And I believe a lot of times when you are praying, my Korean evangelist friend used to say, when you pray for someone, God will give you 1, 2, 3, 4,000 different ways you could maybe talk to them. Something you could do. Maybe he's going to say, give them something. I don't know. Take them to dinner. He says, seek and you will find. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. You know, don't give up on people. Keep praying, keep seeking, keep knocking. Don't quit. You're like a trusting child. You are going to trust your Father who really wants people to know who Jesus is, and you're asking him to help you. You see? And when you don't give up on people, you know what always happens when you keep praying for them? You receive. I told you my mother-in-law became my mother-in-law. She was not a fan of me. I wouldn't be a fan of me either. And she prayed. She told me later, I prayed. She shared a little bit with me, but I wasn't open at all. And she prayed for me. She said, I prayed that God would save you or kill you. Well, thanks, Gail. I really appreciate that. When you pray, you receive. When you seek, you find. When you knock, doors open and hearts open. And this happens in life as you work with people. It's not a formula. We all love formulas, especially as modern people. But you know what? We were called to a personal relationship, not for a winning strategy. Now, winning strategies do sell books and seminars. I've been to a few of them. But they don't win very many people. So just keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. And remember that your dad is generous in his basic nature. He is a loving God. And he wants to, he's a part of this effort to connect with people. He says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? The idea here, all the way through Scripture, is that God really is on your side. He really wants to help you do these things that reflect him. You know, even as a sinner, you care about your kids. How much more does a perfect, generous, loving God care about people? And then thirdly, practice the golden rule in everything. You know, this is, some of you have that mixed up with the gold rule, which is those that have the gold rule. But that's not the golden rule. Charles Swindoll, and I can't get this story totally straight, but he tells a story that I thought was pretty great. He tells a story of a man who's sitting at a stoplight one morning. He's in a kind of a busy commute, a little bit late, and the lady in front of him is distracted. She's like looking at papers on the seat, and so she's just not moving. The light turns green, and she just sits there, and he's getting really frustrated, and she, and the light turns red again. And he just starts freaking out. He's blowing the horn. He is screaming and cussing and blasting profanities and banging on his steering wheel. And he is just going out of his mind. And all of a sudden he hears a knocking on his door, and there's a policeman with his gun out right next to him. And this cop interrupts his tantrum. And the whole time, the guy immediately switches. He's a little bit shocked. And then he switches, "You can't arrest me for yelling in my own car." He's just yelling. "You can't arrest me for yelling in my own car." And it doesn't matter. He orders him out of the car. He puts him in the back seat of his patrol car. He takes him, he detains him. He takes him to the, puts him in a holding cell. After a couple hours, he comes in and he says, "Well, you're free to go. We checked everything out. You're free to go." And the guy goes, "I knew you couldn't arrest me for yelling in my car. I knew you couldn't do that. You haven't heard the last of this. You're going to be hearing from my attorney." And well, the arresting officer said, "I didn't arrest you for yelling in the car. As a matter of fact, I was right behind you at the stoplight, and I saw you screaming and beating on your steering wheel. And I said to myself, what a jerk. But I can't do anything about someone yelling in their own car, as you said. And then I noticed the big yellow cross hanging on your mirror. And I noticed the big red Choose Life and Jesus is Coming Soon bumper stickers. And I also noticed a big fish symbol on your car. And I thought, you know, that's reasonable suspicion. He must have stole that car." You see, I think that allegedly in this tale, he understood how a real follower of Jesus is supposed to act. And he couldn't imagine anybody driving a car with all of that stuff on it was actually a real follower of Jesus. You know, Jesus said it like this, didn't he? I mean, think about it. This has like been so turned into a plaque that we don't realize that it's an axiom for life. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. This is not one of his suggestions. This is in the indicative. It's a command. You are to treat people the way you would want to be treated as a basic level. If you really want to impact your friends, and I think you do. I think you want to see your grandkids and your kids and your neighbors and people you work with. If you want to see those people really come to know the Lord, if you want to see maybe your wife or your husband come and know the Lord, the people that you are around, you don't have to drop gospel tracts from a low-flying plane or display a 20-foot sign that says Jesus saves over your entire house or have bumper stickers and think that because you got a bumper sticker, you got Facebook stuff going on, that that's your big stand for Christ. You don't have to go down and protest and rant about anything that you feel like is wrong. Just take, as Charles Swindoll says in this application, he says, just take the distilled message of Christ's character that you find in the Golden Rule and live it out every day. Live it out month by month. You know, most of you forget that you are the first Bible that most people around here are ever going to read. You really are. You know, I was talking to Nelson. He said he, of course, Nelson, you know, we were chatting on the phone yesterday. He goes, you know, I read the obituary every day and I'm not in it. And he said, but I noticed that 9 out of 10 people don't even have any kind of, when they die, they don't even have a service. They don't list any kind of connection with the church. And I said, well, that's the way it is around here. You know, 97% of people that you live around never go to church. That's not a bad thing. It's like you're like a shoe salesman where nobody wears shoes. It's a great opportunity. Some of you are like, oh, I wish I was down in a place where everybody went to church even though they didn't believe it. It's kind of a love affair with kind of a surface level. You need to remember that when you are working, when you are in your neighborhood, when you are dealing with your kids and your grandkids and your relatives, you're the first Bible most of them will ever read, and make sure it's a good chapter when they're reading it. Make sure it's a good chapter. Make sure that they clearly see in everything, therefore treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. You have to ask yourself that question. You ought to, every day. You ought to ask it right now. You know, I will say something like this. Hey, guys, don't overlook people. If you're here and you haven't met somebody, be sensitive. Think about, how would you feel if you were in a new place? How's that feel? How would you feel if you were kind of unsure of yourself, or you'd never been someplace, never been to a church before, never heard anything like this before? How would you feel? How would you want people to deal with you? How would you want people to deal with your kids if they were having troubles? How would you want people to treat you? Ask yourself, how would I want to be treated if I was lost, or I was afraid, or I was confused, or I was embarrassed, or I was hungry? I love it when I see a Christian act like a Christian. Somebody's really embarrassed, and they just kind of rescue them out of an awkward situation. Oh, it's okay. Even with little kids. Like, you know, sometimes I see parents, I know that you probably do too, you see parents really being terrible to, maybe they're upset with one of their kids, or their kids are embarrassing them, and the kid's embarrassed, and I watch somebody kind of sleep, they can see that parent's really impatient, and they kind of slip in and just kind of, it's okay. You're, it's, you know, and I just, man, I love seeing that. Because you just don't realize what an impact that makes. I love when a Christian is, somebody's being tore up on Facebook or being tore up on in a conversation, and some Christian steps in and says, you know, I'm not so sure that that's the way to handle this. I'm not sure that I think that, I know them. I think that you need to think about that. That lady's a good lady. I know her. You know, I really, really like her. And of course, what happens? No more. And the people that see that say, oh, that's a person I could probably trust with my heart. That's a person I could probably trust. Lady says, I might be able to trust her because I've never heard her talk bad about people. You have to ask yourself, how would I want people to treat me if I was hungry or broke or in danger or in some new situation, the new guy or the new girl? My boys always tease me, you know, like when I'm trying to figure something out, you know, the one of them always says, are you new? It's like, wow, way to just, they're just kidding around, but they know I can take it. But how about when you're just so wrong? Have you ever been totally wrong about something and then later on you realize what a dunderhead you were? And people were really patient with you, kind. How about when you ought to remember that. You ought to remember what it's like to be wrong so that when you're around some wrong person, you can treat them with some respect. How about when you're young and people treat you like you're dumb, or when you're old and you think about it. What is that? How would I feel if I was an older person? I was having a harder time. How would I feel? How would I want to be treated? How would I want to be approached? How would I want to be treated if I was a young person trying to figure things out and I was being like talked down to? How would I want to be treated if I was upset? And when you start to do this, when you start to really take this to heart and say, this is how I'm supposed to act in everything. This is how you treat your kids. This is how you treat your wife and your husband. How would you want to be treated? You say, well, they treat me bad. They want me to treat them good. They want me to treat them a certain way. They better start treating me a certain way. No. It's not do unto others as they do unto you. Just wanted to remind you. You treat them the way you want to be treated. Does that mean everybody gets a pass? Oh, just be nice. You know what? If I'm wrong about something and I'm off, I want someone to lovingly, in a respectful way, in a way that's not humiliating, to say, hey, I don't know if you know this, but this is how you're coming across. I want them to do that. And you should want them to do that too. Ask yourself, how would I want to be treated in that situation? You ever had somebody not do that? Like you've been calling them Mark and their name's, you know, Matt for like 2 years. And you say, well, your name's Matt? How come you let me call you Mark for 2 years? I didn't want to tell you. That's taking it too far, you know. Correct me on this, you know. Cliff. Anyway, yeah. You know, when you do this, you end up doing a lot of other things right. That's why Jesus said, for this is the law and the prophets. You know, you ever read, you read all the law, you read all the prophets? That can get really, it can get pretty taxing. Jesus says, you know what? You want to just get that stuff down? Do this. You say, well, I don't know about that. Oh, you ought to read Paul in Romans 13. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. And if there's any other law, any other rule, love your neighbor as yourself. This fulfills everything. See, you can be an effective witness. As a matter of fact, you know, in this room, you could be an effective witness for so many people that we wouldn't have room. No way we would have room if you were an effective witness to people. And there are people that you're going to talk to and that you know and you work with at the hospital or at the school or at, you know, at your company or some customer, some friend, some random person you grew up with. You have a connection with them. I'm never going to get to talk to them, ever. You already have a relationship with them. And you could be an effective witness, but you have to know when to be quiet. And you have to pray. You have to know when to pray and keep praying, seeking and knocking. And you need to practice the golden rule every day. I know what you say. Okay, is there any other way I could be an effective witness? Because that sounds pretty... That sounds like that. This is something every one of you, these three things are something every one of you are qualified to do and should do. Every one of you. And you know what will happen when you do try and reach people God's way? We'll actually reach people. And you know, look at this country right now. People get all upset about, you know, the only thing that's going to help our country is if you win maybe 100 million people to the Lord. And really let God change their lives into real followers of Jesus that do this. And when that's God's way to bring transition, one person at a time. And when you quit looking for some other vehicle or some, you know, technology or some approach other than that, you're going to be disappointed. But you can do this. And it works. So let me ask you a question. Have you been doing this? Because if you've not been doing these three things, learning, being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, look for God's activity. And if you don't see it at that moment, you just wait to continue to pray, to keep praying, asking, seeking, knocking. And you, in everything, practice the golden rule. Treat other people the way you want to be treated in everything. You're sensitive to that. You're sensitive. You say, I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That's how you're sensitive. That's what sensitive to the Holy Spirit looks like. Have you been doing this? And if you haven't, that's why you're not very effective. That's why people around you are not really being impacted. And I would just tell you right now, you know what the solution is? You need to repent if you haven't been doing this, because this is the basics. And you need to start right now. You don't have to go beat yourself up. Turn from whatever you're doing or not doing. Turn to Him. Ask Him to forgive you. Ask Him to cleanse you. Ask Him to strengthen you. And then you begin to just do these three basic things. Look for God's activity, and if you don't see it, move on. Continue to pray. Practice the golden rule in everything. You need to start right now. You really do. Let's pray. Lord, we do need you. It's so great. I mean, I look around this room and I see these people, Lord. They know people I'm never even probably, unless it's through them, I'm never going to meet them. And maybe unless it's through them, they're not going to know much about you. You put them in those lives and in those places for reasons that you know. Now I pray, Lord, that you would help each of us to be effective witnesses for you. We know that effective means that we've made you known to people. We've made you known. God, cause us to really get this and to see that we can have such a huge impact in a place where so many people are need that impact. I mean, they're everywhere. Everywhere we go, every store we go to, every person we meet, there's such opportunity. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like you to take this little card. It's an amazing green card. I'd like you to take this, put your name on it, and maybe you have a prayer need. Maybe you have a specific person you want us to pray for, to pray, to ask, seek, knock about. And there's also some specific responses to this message. Number one, pray all, look for God's activity and listen to others. You know, you want people to listen to you, you maybe ought to listen to them. And by the way, rather than getting pulled into political and economic and, you know, discussions, religious discussions about your opinion, about probably things you may or may not be in a position to have huge opinions about, here's a question I've learned to ask people that I disagree with, that's very, very helpful. I just ask them, well, help me understand how you arrived at this thinking. And I just listen to them. And very seldom is there a time where after I've listened to them for a while, I don't get to ask another question. You know what I find with most people, not always, in time, they want to know what I think. And boy, I want to tell them. You know that, right? You're like, yeah. So pray, I will look for God's activity and listen to others. Pray, I will know when to be quiet and when to speak. That's so important. I commit to pray without giving up. Don't give up on people. Don't get disgusted with them. Just lean in a little bit harder. I'm going to tell you, there's people I've prayed for and shared the Lord with and sometimes just had to wait 30 years. That's not that long. How long's 30 years when you're looking at eternity? Nothing. And then pray, I will practice the golden rule in everything every day. We will pray for you. You pray for me. That's no small thing. You say, well, that's so cliche. You know why it's a cliche? Because it's central.